Okay, so our review tonight on the judgment seat of Christ lists three types of rewards Christ will give. Everybody remember what those three categories were, the types of rewards? Okay, verbal praise. Crowns, yep. There was three. Anybody remember? Help us out, Sasha. Okay. Okay, so listen. Here's the words I used. Not that they're special, but honor or commendation, position or administration, and crowns or coronation. All right, so those are the rewards. Now, name two types of crowns that we can receive. Those five crowns. Garrett?
Crown of what?
Yep.
Sorry, that's from my crown of what? This one.
Okay, that's one. Got four more? Anybody else? Good.
I don't know the the name, but it was like crown for winning salt.
Okay. All right, that's the crown of rejoicing. Anybody else? You probably need a crown for that. All right. All right, there. The incorruptible crown for doing what's right, you know, keeping your body under control, the crown of righteousness for looking for the Lord's return, the crown of rejoicing for leading souls to Christ, crown of life for enduring temptations and trials, and the crown of glory for being a faithful witness and preaching of the word. Okay? Then three types of losses that we can incur. Remember the losses? Good thing we're reviewing this. It's not sticking very good. Okay.
I didn't remember any of this.
All right. The rebuke and regret, rebuke, and retribution or loss. Okay, so these are the three kinds of things. At the judgment seat of Christ, there can be regret for failures of what we should have done, and rebuke that the Lord says you don't get a reward, and shame on you for what you did. Retribution. Yeah, well, that's good. You had an answer there, and you didn't know it. Okay, tonight we're talking about the tribulation. Okay, this is an interesting and exciting passage here. So we're going to be looking up some verses. So have your Bible ready. Most all of them will be in Revelation. Well, I don't know if they'll all be in Revelation, but quite a few of them will be in that direction. Okay, so as we begin tonight, I want to start with my little chart here and make sure you can basically understand the chart so that'll help us as we work our way through it. All right, now, as you look at the chart here, today we're over there on the other side here, and then the blue section, the dark blue section, is the tribulation period. It lasts 7 years. And it'll start shortly after the rapture. Not exactly sure. You know, some people say it won't be immediately after, but I tend to think it might be. Then there's the first half of the tribulation, which is supposed to be relatively peaceful, and the last half is the great tribulation, which is a lot of terrible, terrible judgments. Now, there, as we'll see tonight, there are some commentators, and probably quite a few, that are good commentators, and I'm not saying anything wrong with it, but I just don't understand the reasoning. They say that the first five of the seal judgments are part of the first half of the tribulation. But I don't know how you can say it's peaceful if there's those five, because they're not peaceful. The only one that's peaceful is the first one. So I personally believe that the middle of the tribulation comes right after the first seal judgment is opened, but I could be wrong, because there's a lot of good guys that don't think that. And as you look at this chart, these things over here, the information chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 5, and so on, those are chapters that don't really fit into this, but they just give you more information about things. So that's what those over there are. These are the seal judgments. These are the trumpet judgments. These are the bowl judgments. And then at the end of the tribulation, the Lord comes back at the revelation of Christ. There's a great battle of Armageddon, and the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, and then the millennium begins, and then at the end of the millennium it's beyond what we're looking at here today, but we'll see that in the days to come. Okay? Any questions about the chart before we move on to the details? Okay, it's just good for you to get that kind of pictured in your mind. It'll help you as we look at some of these things this evening. Okay. So the tribulation period defined. Tribulation is a future time of distress or great trouble described in the Bible that will last 7 years. And it will take place between the rapture and the revelation of Christ. So the rapture of Christ is when he takes us to glory. The revelation of Christ is when he's revealed and comes down to this earth. At the end of the tribulation. During the tribulation, many who have never heard the gospel, particularly Jews, will be saved. Persecution against believers will be terrible, and many will die for their faith. And so during the tribulation period, there will be many, many people saved, but it'll be, as far as we can tell, it'll not be people that are lived through the rapture that have heard the gospel. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God clearly tells us there that those who have not believed will believe a lie and that they might be damned because they did not believe. All right, now, God will pour out many terrible judgments on the world, and the tribulation will end when the Lord returns in judgment and when he sets up his thousand-year kingdom. All right, so the millennium will end come right after the tribulation period ends. Yes, sir?
I was going to question kind of about that.
Yep.
God says that he will, in a way, like, protect Israel. But does that, you think, also mean, like, completely, as in the people there reign and suffer persecution?
No. A lot of the Jews will die.
I see.
So, they're God's people, but the tribulation, one of the reasons for the tribulation period is a time of judgment on Israel because they have rejected him. And God's going to open their eyes, and many of them will come to Christ during that time. It'll be a terrible time of judgment on the world. But that was a good question. Okay, here is the definition that I got from gotquestions.org. That is a really good website. I mean, that guy's on the level most of the time. So if you've not found things on that site, it's a site to consider because he's got some pretty straight, he's a young fella too, but he's got a lot of good answers. Very, very intelligent guy. You can tell that by listening to him. But the tribulation is a future seven-year period of time when God will finish his discipline of Israel and finalize his judgment of the unbelieving world. The church made up of all who have trusted in the person and work of the Lord Jesus to save them from the beginning, from being punished for sin, will be not be present during the tribulation. The church will be removed from the earth in an event known as the rapture. All right, so we've already discussed that and talked about that. And those verses there are the familiar verses. First Thessalonians, those are two rapture verse chapters, remember? First Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, two sections you want to keep in mind. The church is saved from wrath to come, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. All right, so it's saved from the wrath to come. So another evidence that we're not going to be in the tribulation period. And he continues on. He says, throughout the scriptures, the tribulation is referred to by other names, such as the day of the Lord. All right, and let's just look up some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. I'll look up some of them, but if you want to have your Bible ready and help out, that'll be good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 2 says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Alright, so it calls it the day of the Lord, speaking of the tribulation period. And these other verses there on the day of the Lord, it's interesting, in the Old Testament that phrase, the day of the Lord, was used frequently, and you'll find it in Isaiah and in Joel, especially in Joel, and some other places in the Old Testament. It's used as a dual prophecy. Where, like in Joel, there was a local plague that was called the Day of the Lord, but he was also talking about this way future one that has not yet even come to pass yet, the tribulation period. And so there's dual prophecies like that frequently. It's also called the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, 21. Anybody got that one? Neither do I. Matthew 24, 21.
For then mention great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known nor ever shall be.
Okay, so it's called great tribulation, and it's also called the time or day of trouble. And it mentioned in Daniel 12 and also in Zephaniah 1:15. We'll look at the one in Zephaniah. And just right at the end of your Bible, Zephaniah is one of those that gets stuck in there and you think, where did that go? It's in there. There it is. Zephaniah 1, verse 15. Garrett.
That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness.
Okay, so it's talking about a day of trouble here. And so it's also called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It's a little easier to find, Jeremiah 30. Verse number 7. You want to find that before me? All right, Garrett?
Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
Okay, so it's the time of Jacob's trouble. So these are all descriptions or words describing the tribulation period. Okay? And that was the end of that quotation there. And then another quotation from Elmer Towns, and in his book on our faith, he says, there is no other period of time in the past or future history of the world will there be so much suffering and universal destruction as in the last half of the 7 years called the Great Tribulation. This period of time will unleash more torture and misery than occurred during the Second World War that ended with the Atomic Holocaust. Most of the final book of the New Testament is devoted to a recounting of the events of those days. Portions of Daniel, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel also speak of that event. So the last half of the tribulation, and here's our map again, this black section here, it's just unbelievable. Look at some of the things that are going to take place here. If I'm correct and we're dealing with these things here, there's going to be bloodshed, famine, a quarter of the people are going to die, martyrs are crying out to God for his help, earthquakes, and then the trumpets start these here, a third of the vegetation, third of the sea turns to blood, a third of the rivers turn to blood, a third of the luminaries are destroyed, demonic locusts come down, 20 million demons come down to torment people, and then it opens up the bowl judgments. There's going to be sores, and in the sea will all turn to blood, and the water will turn to blood. The sun scorches people. The darkness in the Euphrates River dries up, opening up for the enemies to come across, and then there's a great earthquake. I mean, it's just going to be unbelievable destruction during that time. Not a time you want to live in. Okay? Any questions about that? Yes, ma'am. Yes, the stars and the moon and the sun, God's going to alter them. They won't all, there'll be a third of them, probably a third of the stars will be darkened. So whether he's going to just destroy them or whether he's just going to make them go dark, God doesn't tell us all those details. And John, I think a lot of this that John was getting, he didn't really understand what was talking about either. All he knew is what God showed him.
Meteorite, whatever you want to call it, wormwood. Is that to do with the seed coming from blood? Because
they're talking about it coming bitter. Yes, bitter. I can't remember exactly where the wormwood fits into all this, but it is in there somewhere. Yeah, it's definitely in Revelation, exactly where I can't recall off the top of my head. Okay? Any other questions? All right. Tribulation described. Right, at the rapture, Christ will take all the Christians from the world. The Holy Spirit, who is the restrainer of evil, will leave the world at that time as well. All right, now let me read these verses because these are important for us to grasp. We studied it when we were going through the rapture a while back. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now the word "let" there means to restrain. He who restrains or restrains is the old way of using that word "let" in English. We think of "let" mean to give permission, and it actually meant almost the opposite back then. Verse number 8, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." All right, so the wicked one, referring to the Antichrist, will come, and there's going to be, you know, the great tribulation and conflicts are going to carry on there. Shortly after that, the Antichrist, a powerful leader, will step up to rule the world, and he will make peace with Israel, but that peace will not last. All right, so it's only going to be a short-term peace. And so in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to break the contract he has with Israel. There's a lot of things that are going to take place that just are kind of almost mind-boggling, because Israel is going to be worshiping again in their temple, and they don't even have a temple. But yet, there's talk that they've got all the supplies ready to build one. Yes, sir?
Actually, I was reading the other day about where God says when he'll bring all the prophecies to do with bringing the Jews back to Israel. None of them mention Europe. Makes you wonder if the Jews who are there now might be fake ones, like pseudo-Jews, and the real ones are still maybe to come. Because if you actually look at what the scriptures say, it doesn't line up for what happened in the 40s. Just the interesting quote.
So what are you talking about then?
I'm saying if you look at the prophecies in the Bible relating to the Jews coming back, and he lists some of the nations where God will bring them back from, that's not what we saw in World War II.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's an interesting thing to look into it. Because he mentions like Chad and a lot of like places in the world where that's not Europe. It's actually interesting. You know, it makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, well, they did come. They were scattered from all over the world, so yeah, they would have come from various places. But yeah, it's... Most people do believe, though, that in 1948, when they began coming back, that was the beginning of some of these things. But certainly not the full extent of it. Okay. And then some more description here. As we saw in the chart above, three sets of judgments will plague the world: the seals, the trumpets, and the vials or bowl judgments. As you read through the Revelation there, you can see that. And the Bible teachers differ on how many of these seals, judgments, will be opened during the first half. And I already mentioned that. Some think that only the first one will open during that first half. To me, that makes the most sense. Others think that five of them will be open during the first half. And, you know, I could be wrong because, you know, I'm no scholar on it. But as I look at that and it talks about peaceful time, there's nothing peaceful about a lot of those judgments. There was a lot of, you know, bad things. John Wolford states that there is a remarkable similarity between the progress of chapters 6 as a whole and the description given by the Lord at the end of the age in Matthew 24:4-31. In both passages, the order is, first of all, war, Matthew 24, and then Revelation 6. And then there's famine, Matthew and Revelation again. And there's death, and the next one's in Matthew, and then the next one's in Revelation. And then there's martyrdom, in both of those. And then the sun darkened, the moon darkened, and the stars falling. And again, the parallel. And the time of divine judgment. Matthew mentions it, Revelation mentions it. So they're all lined right up there. You know, the general features of Matthew 24 are obviously quite parallel to the events in the book of Revelation beginning with chapter 6. So there is definitely a parallel there. Matthew 24 definitely talks about the tribulation period, and it talks about the same period that we're talking about here in Revelation. So Revelation 6 to 19, or 6 to 18, wherever you want to cut the line there, deal with the tribulation period. And that's the same as Matthew 24. But when you look at Matthew 24, the thing that confuses a lot of people is when it's written almost in the present tense, like it's going to happen any day, that these things are going to happen to us, and therefore people think that Christians are going to go through the tribulation when they read Matthew 24. But if we understand that Matthew was written to the Jews, it helps us to understand that that does not apply to us going through the tribulation period when he's talking to those in Matthew 24 that would be going through the tribulation period. So there's a lot of... We dealt more into that when we were going through the rapture there earlier. Yes, sir?
Do you think it might be one of those dual prophecies?
Not necessarily a dual prophecy.
You will face persecution, but also in times to come you also face persecution.
No, I don't think it's... They were confused. Jesus actually melted a couple of things together too. He's in one of those passages, I think it might have been in Luke, where he said that he was talking about the temple destruction and the tribulation, which are a long way apart. Well, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, and all that was just destroyed. So there was part of it that took place then, but it certainly wasn't the tribulation part of it. And he kind of blended the two of them together because, you know, a lot of the Jewish people during Jesus' earthly ministry didn't see, you know, like some Bible teachers have described it as two mountaintops, all right? And there was a huge valley, which is the church age, in between, and all they could see is from mountaintop to mountaintop, and they didn't realize that between them was a huge valley of the church age. And so they kind of thought that the tribulation and the end of the world was right next door to each other, and there was a big gap there.
The way I've always seen it, it's almost more like Jesus is not trying to give you a direct answer to the exact date, because it's not the point. The idea is be ready, as in it could be your time of persecution.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant whether you think it's your time or not. The point is live every day as though it could be.
Yeah. And there's portions of Matthew 24 that do sound very much like he's telling us, like you said, to be ready all the time. And so it can be confusing when you look at it from that perspective, but looking at the whole thing and putting it all together, I think it's good for us to see that was dealing with future things. All right, the tribulation describes some more here. Thomas Ice is another good commentator on this, and he states that, I believe, that Matthew 24, 4 to 41 refers to the 7-year period of Daniel 9, 24 to 27 that many commonly call the tribulation. Tribulation is divided in half by the abomination of desolation mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 24, 15. All right, so abomination of desolation was mentioned by Daniel, and now Jesus mentioned it here in Matthew 24, 15. Thus, Matthew 24, 4 to 14 refers to the first half of the tribulation, and that are parallel to the first five sealed judgments found in Revelation 6. All right, so that's, again, here Ice believes that it's going to be all five of them. And maybe. And we're not going to be there to worry about it anyway, so it's nothing to fuss over, but it is good for us to give some thought to. I can't see how those first five seals can be considered very peaceful, but we'll see. Okay? And then the tribulation will end with a great battle when the Lord returns to the earth in Revelation chapter 19. And that'll be a traumatic time, a blessed time for those who are suffering, and a grand time for those who are watching. And so once again, one more look at our chart here so we can get it kind of ingrained in our mind. The Lord's coming back at the revelation of Christ at the end of the tribulation period to begin the kingdom, and it'll end that tribulation period there of judgment. All right? There's so much more we could deal with if we were actually going through the book of Revelation chapter by chapter, then we'd dig into it much more in depth. But it gives you kind of the overview there of things that are taking place. All right, any other questions before we wrap it up? Okay, one last question for us to chew on. What impact should the knowledge of the coming tribulation have on us today? Knowing that the tribulation is going to take place, knowing that it's going to be like this, How should that impact us? John Ray.
Spiritual preparedness.
Yeah, we need to be prepared, that's for sure. We need to be prepared to meet the Lord. We know that the rapture will take place before, so therefore we need to be prepared for that. Very good. Any other thoughts? Jared?
Obviously, realizing the seriousness and what a bad time is going to be, and then trying to share the gospel with other people.
Yes.
So they don't have to go through that.
Yes. Trying to encourage people to understand that this is not what they want, that's not what they need, that's not what they're going to want to go through. Yeah, there's a lot of lost people around us. If the Lord comes back tonight, everybody around us is going to go through this. And that's tragic. And so, yes, good. Anything else?